Okay, admit it. There's a few people sitting here today that when that premiered on television, you were sitting in front of the television the first time it was ever sung, right? Yeah, I know. Those people are here. There are just some things you can't resist. I found that song, and I've heard the song before, but I'd never seen that video before, and I just couldn't resist, because guess what? We're looking at the life of Noah. The sermon is on the backdrop of us rebuilding community in the church. And maybe you're thinking, well, what does this have to do with that? Well, remember, Noah lived in a community. Okay? And well, in his case, his community was made entirely of family. Okay, everybody that was on the planet at that point, they were all kind of living in the same area around there, and they were all kind of still 9 generations worth of family still sitting there. But it was also a community that was living on a limited clock. There were things going on in the world that God decided 120 years, start the countdown. And the countdown had started because the community had lost its way. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people of the earth had corrupted their ways. You get the idea that maybe the world was corrupt? That's the word that we keep hearing. And when I start thinking in those terms, I'm thinking, you know what? I think we have a lot more in common with Noah than we'd like to admit. As a matter of fact, I can take this whole story of Noah and I can give you another perspective, because it can be our perspective. You see, from Noah's way of thinking, he was hoping to gather a crowd. That's the reason he preached for the years. That's the reason he did the way he did, because God wanted Noah to gather a crowd, because what God really was hoping and what God really wanted, and he started in the community, he gathered a crowd, and then what God was really hoping was that as those people were listening to the plan and what was going on, there would be a heart of repentance, and they would become connected to God's plan once again, and you know what's supposed to happen, right? He wanted them to commit to get on that ark. I don't know that Mr. Ford had all the doctrine quite correct, because Noah didn't shut the door. Who shut the door of the ark? God. And he left that door open, and you understand, while only 8 people got on that boat, anybody that wanted to could have. All they had to do was walk on and say, God, I'm in. I'm in. And the reason all this is being done is because God has to deal with the sin situation. The Lord said, I will wipe out from the face of the earth the human race I have created, and with them the animals, the birds, and the creatures that move along the ground, for I regret that I have made them. What did the poor animals do? It's not their fault, right? You understand that sin impacts not just us. It impacts our entire world. It impacts the way the world works. Everything had inherited the corruption of sin. But God looked down, and he watched and he looked, and it says that Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Now, if you have the King James, and the word there is absolutely, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, but if you look at some of the more modern translations, the word grace has been replaced with Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. And as I began to read that, I began to think, wow, now that changes my perspective a little bit. Because favor is regard shown toward another, especially by a superior. So that means God looked down and he said, hey, there's something different about Noah. And well, it means approving, consideration, or attention. So God looked at Noah and he said, okay, the whole world is corrupt and I'm not pronouncing Noah perfect, but I got to start somewhere, right? And so Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. And now you know what's going to happen when you live in the mind of Barry. I started asking myself, I wonder who else, if I looked through Scripture, found favor in the eyes of the Lord. And here's your list. Abraham found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Moses found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Joseph found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Gideon found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Samuel found favor in the eyes of the Lord. David found favor in the eyes of the Lord. And Daniel found favor in the eyes of the Lord. And you think, okay, first of all, they're all guys, so what's wrong with God and girls? Hold a second. And you're also thinking, that's all Old Testament stuff. Oh, well, wait a minute. There is somebody in the New Testament that right off the bat found favor in the eyes of the Lord. And by the way, she breaks the male process here. Her name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, greetings to you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. And as I looked at that list of people that found favor in the eyes of the Lord, and I thought about poor Noah, and I began thinking about Mary, I now totally understand Mary's response to what the angel said to her. She didn't say, yippee, goody, I found favor in the eyes of the Lord. No, that isn't what happened. No, the next verse says, and Mary was greatly troubled by his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. So wait a minute, God finds favor and Mary is worried, and I understand exactly why after looking at this. Because you see, every time somebody finds favor with God, it means God has a job for them to do. You notice that? Look at that list again. Abraham, Moses, Joseph, Gideon, Samuel, David, Daniel, Noah, Mary. I find favor, and guess what? I got work for you to do. If God says, I find favor in the eyes of the Lord. Therefore, I came up with a really cool sermon title. I'm not really great at making sermon titles, but every now and then I hit on one. When God needs a favor. And that brings me to a question. Did God need Noah? Think about that. Did he need Noah? And the answer is yes and no. You see, God is holy, eternal, almighty, and totally self-sufficient. He is not dependent on anything or anyone. He suffers no lack. He knows no limitation and experiences no deficiency all by himself. He does not need us to exist. That's one of the things the world kind of has messed up, because for some reason they think we created God because of the things that we can't explain. God doesn't need us to exist. God has been here forever and beyond forever because God is completely timeless. However, in this case, God desires to restore humanity and not destroy it. Okay? That was not God's intention. God was not angry and said, oh, well, I'm just going to wipe you guys. I'm going to send a little water and wipe you guys all away. God was not angry. That is not the word that is used. We'll talk about the word next week. God is not angry. And so he wants to save humanity. Thus, to do so, without totally recreating humanity, which he could do. He could have wiped it all out and said, okay, we'll just make a couple of new humans and we'll go back to square one and we'll do 2.0 and see if we can move on that way. But if he's going to restore humanity, then guess what he does actually have to have? Humans. If he had wiped it all away, then it would not have made it, okay, we wouldn't be standing here today having this discussion because we wouldn't be here. So he did actually need humans for the actual plan, and this is why later on God came to Mary. You see, what we are told, turn my page here, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. So the plan all along was never for God to do the crazy thing, and that is, hey, just wipe it all out. Even when he came to Mary, he said, hey, I have something else that I want to do. And, well, that's a little bit deep for today, and I don't want to go too deep into that. Just think about it, though. Could God have just created a human body and brought it to life and moved into it? When he needed Jesus, could he have done it that way? He could have just said, sure, I'll just make Jesus a new body. We'll make him 30 years old and make him kind of attractive and give him long, wavy hair and a little beard and mustache, and I'll just move him there. But he could have, but in doing so, Jesus would have been human, but he wouldn't have actually experienced all of humanity. Ponder that. The entire reason the Jesus plan was the way it was is he started out as a baby. That means Jesus had to experience diapers. Jesus had to be taught how to eat. Jesus had to be taught how to do all the other things, how to walk, how to talk, all of those things. Jesus had to experience humanity to its fullest. Therefore, and I have lost, okay, there we go. Now I'm to the right place. I got ahead of myself. Therefore, the Lord God himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. So again, because he wanted all of humanity to be experienced by Jesus, then that's what we got. And we need to remember in all of this that the goal was a relationship. And relationships exist. There must be two parties, not just one. So God could not have a relationship with humanity without humans. So that kind of gives you some food to think about. Does God really need humanity? But that's not really what we're talking about. So since God desired the relationship, he technically needed the human named Noah. And that brings us to our question today. When God desires a favor, who does he choose? Anybody he likes. Well, there's got to be some requirements, right? There's got to be a job description. I mean, who does God choose when God actually needs to get a job done? And that's what we're going to look at today. Why did God choose Noah? I mean, there were lots of people out there. What made Noah have favor and not the rest of humanity? And here's the first thing we know about Noah. God looks for people that are interested in the relationship. This is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God. First job requirement, when God needs a favor, he went looking for a righteous person. Now, I know we've used that term a lot, but I don't want to overbeat the drum here, but he is looking for somebody that is acting in accord with divine or moral law, and I think that's a first big step. Noah accepted there was a God. He looked out on all of the world, the planet. He said, you know what? Somebody created this stuff. All of this stuff came from somebody. There has to be somebody else. I accept that there is a God. And he acknowledged God as his authority. He said, you know what? If God made it all, then God's in charge of it all. And he attempted to live by God's law. Now, just know, all of righteousness does not give everybody the right where God finds favor. Ezekiel chapter 14, verses 12 through 14 says, the word of the Lord came to me, son of man, if a country sins against me by being unfaithful, I stretch out my hand against it and cut off its food supply and send famine upon it. And it kills people and their animals. Even if these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they could save only themselves by their righteousness, declares the Lord. See, just being having the right idea, living righteously, that's not enough. It says that Noah also lived blameless among his people. Now, don't get your words confused. Blameless does not mean perfect. Noah wasn't perfect. We will look at some of Noah's really dark moments when we get near the end of this sermon series, but Noah was not perfect. But here's the thing. Go back to that list I gave you. All of those favored people on that list had a heart of repentance. All of those people were willing to take the things that were in their life and lay them before God and repent of them. And that's important because God is looking for people that aren't just willing to keep a list of rules. He's looking for people that have a repentant heart. Acts chapter 20, verse 21. I have declared to both the Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in the Lord Jesus. You understand why nobody else got on the ark. It wasn't because they were scared of boats. It's because they knew Walking up that plank, getting on that ark, meant that you are saying, God, I am going to trust in your plan, and I am going to do things your way. That's what God's looking for when he needs a favor. Repentance. He's also looking for those that walk faithfully with God. By faith, when Noah warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness that is in keeping with faith. Noah's ark was not built in one day or a year or a decade. Noah was preparing for something he may never have seen in his entire life. Rain, flooding, mass destruction. And that's the faith God's looking for. It goes over time. It does not rely on just what I know to be true. And it absolutely keeps God at the center. So if you're looking for God to find favor in you, you have to be interested in God. Look across Scripture. That's the way it's always worked. Of course, there's another part. It's not just knowing about God and being interested in God. You actually have to listen to God. Genesis chapter 6, verses 13 through 21. Here we go. We're going to give it a try. I don't usually read these large swaths of Scripture, but here we go. So God said to Noah, I'm going to put an end to all people. All people? Wait a minute, God, I'm a people. Okay, hang on, Noah. So God said to Noah, I'm going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I am surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood, make rooms in it, and coat it with pitch inside and out. This is how you are to build it. The ark is to be 300 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, 30 cubits high. Make a roof for it, leaving below the roof an opening 1 cubit high all around. Put a door on the side of the ark and make a lower, middle, and upper deck. I am going to bring floodwaters on the earth and destroy all life under the heavens. Every creature that has breath and life in it, everything on the earth will perish. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark. You and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives. You are to bring into the ark all of the living creatures, male and female, and keep them alive with you. Two of every kind of a bird and every kind of an animal and every kind of a creature that moves along the ground with them will come with you and be kept alive. You are to take every kind of food that is to be eaten and store it away as food for you and them. So once God finds somebody that's interested, now he's got to ask the bigger question. Are you going to listen to me? Are you going to listen to what I'm asking you? That scripture I just read you, those are some very specific instructions God gave. He gave prescriptions for the boat. He gave dimensions, material, and building techniques. For the animals, he said, hey, Noah, you can't take two males. That ain't going to work. By the way, you can't take two females either. You got to get a male and a female because we got to have more once the flood is over. So he gave them specific things for the animals. He even said how many? Two unclean and, 14 of the clean ones. You'll find that in Genesis chapter 7, verse 2. And by the way, Noah, when you finish building the animals, you finish building the ark, don't forget the food. And you've got to get something that everybody's going to like and everybody's going to eat, and you've got to get it all stored up. So God needs to know, Noah, are you going to listen to the instructions I give you? They're all not only to be things that God wanted them to do, they all had things that God the way God wanted them to do them. So he didn't give his favorite people instructions to say, hey, you got to do this. You make up how you're going to get it done. He didn't say, Mary, you're going to have a baby. Go find somebody to help you out with that. He said, no, Mary, my plan. Noah, my plan. Daniel, my plan. David, my plan. Everybody had a plan. Moses, my plan. Abraham, just start walking. I'll let you know when to stop, okay? God wants people that's going to actually listen to what he wants them to do, because once you listen, you're actually ready to receive favor in the eyes of the Lord. How? How can just understanding the relationship and being willing to listen get me ready? Well, that's because God is absolutely looking for people that are willing to follow Him. What was Noah's response to that great big long list of instructions he got? Noah did everything. Not half, not 99%, not some. Noah did everything just, not sometimes, just as God commanded him. This is important because God desires us to act. James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away immediately and forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Actions speak louder than words, right? God doesn't want you just to learn things and put it away and store it away. God says, I want you to take some action. We cannot just store it up, the information. We have to learn how to apply it. And folks, when we apply it, it has to become the priority. This is what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. It says, for he says, in the time of my favor I heard you, and in the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you now, it is time for God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. God is waiting for us to act. Have you been there yet? Or are you just storing it up? You're like, yeah, God, you gave me the blueprint. It's my tomorrow thing to do. Today. This is the day. Now, I gave you a list of people that were favored, but you know I did leave a name off, right? There was one more person that got that, found favor in the eyes of God. His name was the ultimate favored. His name was Jesus. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. I like the idea of this, is that Jesus grew in favor. Okay, as Jesus grew, he became in favor, more in favor with God as he grew in wisdom and in stature. And why did it work this way? It's real simple. Just like Noah, he did God's will God's way. And being found in the appearance of man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death upon a cross. We often get this picture that we think Jesus was excited on this whole cross idea. Oh, no. There is a much bigger difference between being excited and being willing. Okay? There are many things in my life that I do that because I am willing to do them, I ain't very excited about them, trust me. They're just things that I know have to get done. In the garden before his death, three times Jesus said, I'll do it, but if you've got another plan, I'm good with another plan also. You see, Jesus was willing to do what God said, not just excited about it. To God, to do God's will, I think it's important that you see leads to the world humble and obedient. That's what leads to the idea that I'm not just going to acknowledge God. I'm not just going to hear his word. I'm going to put it into action. And even if it means I have to humble myself, and I have to set part of myself aside to obey what God has given me to do, that's what we're going to do. Jesus put it best of all. Real simple, Luke chapter 22, verses 41 through 43. Not my will, but yours. You see, it says, he withdrew about a stone's throw from a yawn and knelt down and prayed, Father, if you were willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours. And that grace that Mr. Trent Tennessee, Ernie Ford was singing about, Noah found, well, you understand, we have also found grace through the ultimate favored. He has saved us, called us to a holy life. not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given to us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and brought life and immortality to the light of those through the gospel. Just like Noah did when he built that ark to save his family, God sent Jesus to save us. Just like Noah was called, we were called. And just like Noah was given grace, this is where I think the song messes it up a little bit. Noah didn't find grace. Noah did not find grace. Grace is something that is given, not found. The grace was given, but it was had to be received also. God gave Noah the plan, but Noah had to take action on that plan. Noah was saved not by knowing about the flood, nor was he saved by building the ark. His salvation came by trusting God and getting in the ark. Could you imagine how silly it was? God had been telling Noah about this flood all these years, and Noah built this great ark, and he's ready to go, and he says, okay, God, I got it. Noah, get on the boat. I don't think so, God. No, it was a really nice project to have for my entire life. And yeah, well, how about we just let the animals go? I don't think so, God. Would the ark have done Noah any good if he didn't actually get on it? No. He'd have been destroyed with the rest of humanity. Can you imagine how silly it sounds for us to look at God when he has sent his one and only son to die on a cross, to give his life, and to actually save us from our sins? If we look at God and say, yeah, God, I see the plan, I know the plan, I've heard the plan, it's all there. I don't think so, God. This whole Jesus thing has way too many restrictions and requirements to it for me. You do what you understand what you're doing, right? You're looking at God's ark, his son, and what you were saying is, no, thank you, God. I'm not getting on. And you do know what happens when you do that, right? Grace that results in life over death. It was the act of getting on the ark that saved Noah. That's where Noah's grace was found, was inside that ark. Because outside of that ark, the only thing left was a world full of death. And you know what? We are sitting here today in 2024, and not a lot has changed. The world is still dealing with corruption and sin. God is still giving us a plan. He wants to know, are you seeking God's favor? Are you looking for salvation? Or are you just okay with the world's going to go? Because you understand, eventually the clock runs out for Noah, and the clock will run out for us. Because Jesus says, someday I'm a coming back. And the question I want to know is not, did Noah find that grace in the eyes of the Lord? I want to know, have you found grace through finding favor in the Son of God? That's your choice, folks. That's what God wanted Noah to do.